Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is our third and final hour here across the Spiz Grizz Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. But so much more to dive into. A doubleheader of NFL action on this Monday night to end out week number 7 in Tampa. It's the Bucs and the Ravens. Then we head out to the desert. 9 p.m. Eastern time kick in Glendale between Arizona, that being the Cardinals, and the L.A. Chargers. So, of course, we need to hear from the people. We'll get the prop perspective for this Monday night. And how about this little treat, DRS? Tomorrow, the opening night of an NBA regular season. We'll take an early look at the Tuesday night doubleheader to kick off the campaign in the association in just a little bit as well.
A new season on the brink for us here. And also, we love the NBA because it's night to night. It's a lot of good fun stuff. It's just a shame that nobody pays attention to it except Kevin Walsh until after January the 1st. But we'll get through it. We'll have some fun. We'll do it.
Was that necessary?
Like that? Like that setup?
Was that necessary?
I had to get the shot. And look, if I'm going to be a commissioner, I got to have stands out here, Ben, that I can campaign on. That's one of my campaigns here. We don't start the NBA to at least, like, Christmas Day is the perfect jump-off point to the NBA, and then the NFL goes, no, it's our day again. So maybe Boxing Day, I think they call it, December 26th. Maybe that's the perfect day for the NBA to start. How about that? You ever celebrate Boxing
Day?
You
got to go to the metric system?
I think it's I want to say it's UK. Is UK do who does Boxing Day? Somebody
does. Yeah, no, you're right.
I don't even think they box.
The UK,
is it just like you
Christmas.
Get boxes? Or do you actually go out in the streets and just like, you know what? Let's get a fair one out here in these streets. You know what I mean? Now, that would be a holiday. Imagine Boxing Day where you don't know if you leave your house, you got to square up multiple times legally in public. That's a good one. That's a good day.
Out there like a little razzmatazz every time you head
out
to the
Joe Lisi, where would he go on Boxing Day? We don't know. We don't know.
Trying to find the guys who stole his car. Anyway.
Damn kids.
Oh, that was fun. He doesn't think they're kids. Anyway, we could talk about that for the entirety of this third hour if we needed to. Let's hear from the people, though, as we get ready for this Monday night doubleheader to end out week 7 of the NFL season. First up in Tampa, the Bucs, a 3.5-point home dog against a Ravens team on a 4-game win streak. Then out to the desert, the Cardinals and the Chargers, just a short 1.5-point spread in favor of the Bolts. We had to ask the people, DRS, 2-leg money line parlay, who wins them both? That was the question in Fade the Public. So, DRS, you were not here on Friday, but the Fade the Public question to the people was about Major League Baseball with a doubleheader. Who would win Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Mets and Game 4 between the Yanks and the Guardians? Most of the public, overwhelmingly so, more than 50, saying Dodgers, Yankees. The Yankees held up their end of the bargain. Of course, the Dodgers did not beat the Mets at Citi Field, forcing a Game 6. So, the public, overall this year, 6-7. Can they get back to 500 with a 2-leg money line parlay on Monday Night Football? They're going chalk, Ravens, Chargers, two road favorites tonight, 48% of the vote. DRS, you fading the public?
Look, no, I'm not. I actually went with the public, and it sounds crazy to do this, but we're not talking about two games, Ben, like, hey, 7.5-point favorites each, where it's like, yes, the Ravens and the Chargers will win. We're also taking a look at two ball clubs that the public is betting on, and so is myself, being on the road here, expected to win these road games here, being the Ravens and the Chargers. Plus 185 is a decent price, but this one's a little bit tougher than usual, because again, baseball, like, hey, it's minus 170, minus 160, minus 150. You got a decided advantage. You're still getting plus money here, because why? As we said, 1.5-point line, 3.5-point line keeps it close here. But I can see where the public and myself went with the Ravens and the Chargers. I just think both of these teams are the better football teams. But it's the NFL. Boy, it's hard to win games on the road. And these teams aren't decided favorites in either one of these road games here.
So, DRS, I'm slightly fading the public. I actually selected the Bucs and the Chargers. I think Tampa's got something tonight. They've been a great underdog with Baker Mayfield. 3.5-point spread, even if the Buccaneers do not win outright. I do believe they can cover that number. But you are right. These are not monumental spreads. I'm not saying the Bucs plus 6.5 because I think they can keep this game to within 4 or 6. It is just 3.5. If you like the Cardinals to win outright, you're not really getting much value from a spread perspective. You can just look at that money line. And again, Arizona, a good underdog in their time with Jonathan Gannon as well. 11-10 ATS. So here we are in these two spots where the DRS, the public, is trying to pick both of those money line winners. If Baltimore wins, as you anticipate, and even covers, that'd be 5 straight wins for the flock. And more than likely, if they do cover, we'll give them the benefit. We'll say they have covered in all 5, or at least they have not covered in any of the 5 wins. If you want to say they closed as a touchdown favorite against Washington and did end up pushing that game in a touchdown victory. But that would still, to me, look really, really solid for the Ravens. And Donnie, although Kansas City is the last undefeated team in the National Football League, you would almost have to think that Baltimore is right there on the same tier, that we might see maybe not a Super Bowl rematch as we did yesterday between the Chiefs and the Niners, but an AFC Championship game rematch more than likely at the end of this season.
No, no doubt about it, because we're talking about 4 straight wins here after the first 2 losses of the season. Cowboys, Bills, Bengals, and Commanders, handle your business. You go on the road tonight as a slight favorite of the Buccaneers and beat them, Ben. Guess what? You then go on the road against the Browns, the lowly Browns, who even knows who's coming out for that football game next. Then you take a look at the Broncos, poor quality, but you got them at home. The Bengals, we'll see where they're at, but you also have them at home, and you already beat them once. So you theoretically could go, all right, 4 game streak turns into 5, 6, 7, and 8, and away you go. I'm interested to see what we get out of the Ravens tonight. But also the expectations for me aren't saying, hey, I don't know if they can do well on offense. No, they've been really good on offense. Stick to the same formula that brought you here in those 4 games, and I think the Ravens will be fine. I'm very excited, as it was before the season, for the Ravens. A little bit down after the 0-2, but they righted that ship quickly by doing the principles that work for that team. Not a ton of arm usage for Lamar Jackson. He can be special with 25 passes or less. He can be special on the ground. Same thing with Derrick Henry. And it looks like some of these young kids at wide receiver can step up there, including Zay Flowers. And boy, if Mark Andrews can get back to being a top 5 tight end in football, that's what we're looking forward to for the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson throwing for more than 320 last week against the Commanders on only 26 attempts. Impressive. We showed you his passing yards prop for tonight, 229.5. It's a number Lamar has gone over in 4 of 6 games. And he's looked pretty consistent and efficient in doing that. Baltimore, DRS, minus 250. The favorites to win the AFC North. The Steelers, though, also 5-2. Just saw the playoff prices go up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Bengals, despite that 0-3 start, now favored at minus 120 to see the postseason. Again, the AFC North outside of Cleveland should be competitive here in the second half.
Yeah, bad. Look, there's a lot of bad football teams mixed in, but also a lot of bad record / decent talented football teams that can make a run. Yeah. That's the fun part about it. It used to be you had the wannabes and the teams that just weren't going to be able to make it in, and then the really good football teams. But now you're seeing, look, 0-3 start. You can never recover from that. Now you're still basically a favorite to make the playoffs after an 0-3 start. Yeah. It just tells you the talent that Cincinnati has, if they can get it together. I'm still skeptical. What a big game next week on the the Bengals' schedule, going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, that could be a make or break game for them once again here. So good times. Every game's meaningful. Yeah. Who would have thought it?
DRS, we talked about it in the AFC that to start this year, we expected this conference to be highly competitive. You might need 10 or 11 wins, even a sniff a wild card berth. Half of the conference now that most have finished week seven have a winning record. But of that half, eight teams, it includes teams like the Colts above 500, the Broncos at 4-3, and these Chargers who have a winning record and trying to stay above 500 with a win tonight against the Cardinals in Arizona. Pro Football Doc joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday with the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, joining us to recap a Sunday slate around the National Football League and look forward to another doubleheader on this Monday night to end out week seven. Dr. Chow, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on the Early Line.
Always happy to be here. Not happy to have lots of injuries, especially to the quarterback position.
A lot of injuries, Doc, to detail from yesterday, and many of them significant, especially at the quarterback position. Doc, let's start with what we saw in Cleveland. Closing minutes of the opening half, Deshaun Watson goes down with a non-contact injury. The Browns saying after the game they fear it is a torn Achilles. From what we could see on replay and video, it certainly looked to be that. But we're not doctors. You definitely are. What did you see with Deshaun Watson's injury? What do you expect for the remainder of the year for the Browns quarterback?
Look, normally we go by from the war room a 95% confidence before we give an injury opinion. This was 99.9, and we had it up. The guys in the war room were great. We had it up within 30 seconds on Twitter. It's gotten like, I don't know, 3+ million views or whatever, a close-up of the calf reverberation, the Achilles. Very clear. You don't need an MRI, unfortunately. More clear than Aaron Rodgers last year. So, unfortunate here. Deshaun Watson finally was playing better early in that game. And then now this, and he's done for the season. And I have no idea what the cap, you know, implications are and future are. But I can't tell you he's done for the season, period. End of story. There will be no late season comeback, et cetera.
Doc, another devastating injury yesterday was Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers. I know you guys were also quick with putting up some information there. It looked like it could have been the possibility of a knee and an ankle injury. What's the latest on your beliefs here on Brandon Ayuk and his injury?
Well, by video, we only had a side video. We didn't have one from the front because players blocked it. But it was a right knee issue, significant knee ligament issue, at least MCL tear, sprain tear, and the possibility of ACL. We didn't see the distinct video to be able to make that 95% call, but the MCL for sure. So at a minimum, he's a four-week IR. There are some loose reports about fear of ACL on top of that, including from the head coach, who's usually pretty straightforward. So at this point, anything short of season ending would be great news for Ayuk. And here's the irony. In game yesterday, you had Ayuk out. You had Debo sick and out. You had Juwan Jennings not starting the game. You could argue the number one receiver was Ricky Pearsall, who got shot 6 weeks ago. That was crazy.
Made his NFL debut yesterday for the 49ers, who have been plagued by injuries in the offensive side. Of course, we still have not seen Christian McCaffrey at any point this season. Dr. Chow, back to the quarterbacks. And although it was an easy win for the Commanders to cruise to a 5-2 start, rookie quarterback and phenom Jaden Daniels injured early in the game. Did come back to the sidelines in the second half in street clothes. He told reporters who were at the game, "I'm good, I'm fine." His mom tweeted it out that he's fine, not to worry. Do you think Jaden Daniels is actually fine? And Doc, can we expect to see him play in the matchup of 1-2 as the Commanders host the Bears on Sunday afternoon?
I do believe Jaden Daniels is fine in the big picture, but not fine for next week for 1-2. By video, that early long run, that was a rib cartilage issue. left lower rib soft cartilage. That's why x-rays were negative. There's no fracture there because there's no bone there. It's rib cartilage. But a lot of oblique muscles attached, torso rotation, control, painful. I think he misses a short stint. No IR, no surgery, but I think it's pretty tough to play through that this next week. This, in some ways, is a little bit Derek Carr-ish, and he's missed two games now. And, you know, not exact comp, but somewhat similar. And think back to Justin Herbert early last year against the Chiefs' rib soft cartilage. He played through some with an injection, but he's a vet. I think he misses 1 or 2 weeks.
Interesting to watch that play out, Doc. But we do have Monday Night Football, a doubleheader today over at SixScore.com. Take a look at the field views tonight. Pretty healthy in Tampa Bay and Baltimore, but I have questions for you on Tampa Bay. Number one with Mike Evans and that hamstring injury, and Vita Vea, their superstar defensive tackle. What are we hearing the latest on those two guys?
I mean, good news on both those in terms of video and the reports. It looks like the hamstring is fine for Mike Evans, more tightness, and Vita Vea seems fine. So it should be a good matchup with some relatively healthy teams there. The other game, you know, the concern is some DBs for Arizona Cardinals and also ability to stop the run. And we know Jim Harbaugh wants to run the football. And by the way, his heart is fine.
Yes, that is very good news. Doc, from the wide receiver position in that game between the Chargers and the Cardinals, a couple of young wideouts, their status a little bit in question. Marvin Harrison Jr., specifically for Arizona, exited the Cardinals' previous game with a concussion. Can we expect to see MHJ suit up for Arizona tonight?
Absolutely. He's already been cleared. He's had full practices. He is slated to go. Barring some sort of last-second surprise, he is absolutely cleared and ready to go. Ladd McConkey for the Chargers, on the other hand, still questionable with the hip. We don't have a lot of video on that, so don't have a lot of clarity. The Chargers have gotten a lot healthier. Their left tackle, right tackle are back. Obviously, Justin Herbert back. Joey Bosa is still the main question mark. And you saw the field view there. Look at the D-line for the Cardinals. That's where the issue is right there.
Yeah, as Doc, you can see, that's the offensive. Oh, go ahead, DRS.
I was going to squeeze one more in, Doc, for you. DK Metcalf on Sunday. A lot of fantasy people watching. 4 catches, 99 yards. Is that knee going to be troublesome moving forward, or is he okay?
I think he's okay. Look, this is what I always say. What do I always say? Judge the video of the injury. Judge the actual injury. Don't judge the reaction to the injury. The cutoff is a reaction to the injury. Look at Cincinnati Bengals' Geno Stone safety. Carted off in an air cast. And we all think air cast means broken bone and done. Well, he was walking around the locker room. There's nothing wrong with being overprotective early. This is why we judge video rather than reaction to the video. We don't judge Deshaun Watson's tears. We judge the fact that his calf popped.
Right. And that's why the great work at Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com, Dr. Chow, we appreciate the time and the analysis as always. We'll set the stage for the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are one day away from the start of a new season in the NBA, the National Basketball Association, back in our lives tomorrow for the beginning of 2024-25 around the association. And it starts where last season ended, at least with a championship. That's in Boston. They will hang championship banner number 18 tomorrow night inside TD Garden with a classic rivalry in the Eastern Conference. And Donnie, as we enter the year, the two best prices to win an Eastern Conference crown. It's the Celtics and the Knicks tomorrow night in Beantown. The C's a 5.5-point home favorite on banner night against the Knickerbockers. As you can see, a total north of 220. DRS, it's been an offseason of addition for the New York Knicks, especially here in the last few weeks. Stunning the NBA world with the trade and a blockbuster deal to acquire Karl Anthony Towns from Minnesota. Between the two teams that have the two best prices to win the East entering the year on banner night in Boston, what do you anticipate?
Yeah, by the way, the Knicks no longer the little engine that could. Like, hey, what a fun little story of the Villanova New York Knicks here with Jalen Brunson. No more of that here. Mikal Bridges gets added. Karl Anthony Towns, you are now one of the haymakers in the Eastern Conference, and rightfully so at this point. I don't know what to expect opening night from a perspective of let's run up and down the court. Can we get to 224 points? That's always tough. But you know there's going to be a lot of emotion in the building, and the NBA does it right. Is there a better starting game on the East Coast than the defending champions here, Celtics, going up against the New York Knicks, one of those teams looking to knock them off the block? I love everything about this basketball game. For me, it is going to be interesting because the Celtics, you know what you're getting. Holiday, White, Brown, Tatum, Horford, they know how to play together. They've been together for a while. But how is it going to fit with that New York Knicks new look team, which basically was led by Jalen Brunson last year? Yes, he's going to be a great point guard, no doubt about it. But how do these guys get their shots? Who knows who's going to be taking those big shots at the end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter in a tight game here? For that perspective, I probably lean more towards the Boston Celtics winning this basketball game, but I'm excited for it. There's talent all over the place. And more importantly, Ben, there's a lot of intrigue on what we're going to get out of the New York Knicks.
No Kristaps Porzingis on opening night, or probably for the opening month or two of this season for Boston. But the Celtics, outside of that, basically return everybody, I should say, to make yet another title run. Boston is plus 310 right now to win the NBA championship and a second consecutive Larry O'Brien trophy. It is half the price of everybody else in the association. The Oklahoma City Thunder have the second best number at plus 650. Boston, for instance, I mentioned these two teams, the two front runners to win the Eastern Conference Championship DRS. The C's at plus 150. The Knicks, more than $2 or more than $3. No, $2 behind that, double the price at plus 410. My mental math on this Monday has been a little bit shaky at time. So Karl Anthony Towns makes his debut for the Knicks tomorrow night on banner night in Boston. His former team on the road in Los Angeles, that's the Timberwolves taking on the Lakers. The T-Wolves were a team that finished third in the Western Conference in the regular season, made it to the Western Conference Finals, were a series favorite before they got knocked off by the Dallas Mavericks. A short 1.5-point favorite tomorrow night in Los Angeles against LeBron James and Bronny James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Total at 219. A start of a new season in Los Angeles. What do you like, DRS?
It's going to be great to watch it play out because you have that sort of changing of the guard, right? LeBron James, for so many years, been in the face of the NBA, maybe passing of the torch sooner than later to Anthony Edwards, the young superstar shooting guard here for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But you're right. No Karl Anthony Towns. You add in Julius Randle, a guy that likes to have the ball in his hands, likes to rebound, likes to take a lot of shots. Where does he fit on this team? But the one thing we do know is the Lakers are not going to be more healthy than probably what they're going to be on opening night with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Superstar studded affair. Maybe we go to the old guard and take the slight dog price in the Los Angeles Lakers here.
Seventh best price for LA to win the Western Conference at 18-1. It is that new era, DRS. We talked about it in the Western Conference last year. Teams like the T-Wolves and the Thunder that were prolific in the regular season, and they earned some of that pedigree. But, of course, do not forget Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. OKC, the favorites out west at plus 310. The Nuggets and the Timberwolves tied for that second best price at plus 500. The departure of Cat. Where does that leave Ant? Anthony Edwards is expected to take that next step. How about the Bronny Specials category on the FanDuel Sportsbook? Goodness. His first ever NBA basket to be assisted by his father? Plus 250. How about will he score in the opening game of the year? Plus 2,500. That's not true. I just made up that price. The prop perspective for this Monday night up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A prop perspective on this Monday for a doubleheader of NFL action to end out week number 7. We call on the jack of all trades. It is Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio. Tom, as always, thank you for being here. How was your NFL Sunday? Was it prolific with the props?
It was a good day from the prop perspective. My fantasy teams are absolutely terrible. We have two Monday night games. You know, normally I like to say, let's get in the mix tonight, but I think the one doing the most mixing tonight will be a Baker, as usual.
Oh, I like that. Again, that's a second consecutive appearance out of Vecchio dropping a bar that Donnie Wrightside wishes he could spit a beat over. Vecchio, I love the way you're bringing the fire to start off these segments. All right, let's start with the first of two Monday Night Football games, a matchup of two teams at 4-2 each. In Tampa, the Buccaneers play host to the Ravens. Baltimore, Tom on a four-game win streak and a 3.5-point road favorite. High total, 49.5. Should be a really good game tonight between the Bucs and the Flock. How do you see it playing out? What are the numbers telling you?
This is by far the more interesting game of the two tonight. You know, we have two teams that I'm going to say are moving the ball on offense, and ultimately I think they're struggling on defense. We look to the Ravens, and they've absolutely been trending up for the majority of the season after the first few weeks. But, you know, last week they gave up some points to the Commanders. The week before, they're giving up points and yards to the Bengals. I think we're going to see some points tonight. Like, that's the main thing that I'm focusing in on. We're going to see the ball move. We're going to see some players hit overs on props. We're going to see some scoring. So obviously I want everything to correlate that. I do think we're going to be in for a far more exciting game compared to the later one. So start with points here, start with some yards here, some players that have high involvement in offenses that we'll get to, and I think they're going to be scoring. I think you can go a number of different ways. I think this game has the juice that we're looking for tonight.
Let's get some juice out of the quarterback position here, Tom, because we do have two guys that like to put up some numbers. That's Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. Passing props, 253.5 for Baker, 231.5 for Lamar. If you're looking at touchdown props, both guys listed at 1.5, minus 102 juice for Baker Mayfield, plus 102 for Lamar Jackson. How about the quarterbacks tonight, Tom?
You know, going to overs on Lamar is always tough because he could have one, run one in. Derrick Henry has two, whatever it might be. And ultimately, if I think the Ravens are going to be slightly out ahead, as we've seen the Bucs defense kind of struggle. I mean, they gave up 27 points to a rookie quarterback in Spencer Rattler. If the Ravens can move the ball effectively, I think we're going to see the Bucs in the spot where they need to pass the ball. So I have far more interest when it comes to Baker props. And ultimately, Baker's like a player in my mind that's going to go down swinging. He may have some interceptions, but he could have three touchdowns, two interceptions, and 300 yards. So I actually like Baker a little bit more when it comes to his passing yards, his passing touchdowns, and that's kind of where I'm leading things. I do have some interest when it comes to the Ravens' skill players, position players, though.
And Tom, I think there's a lot of thought into that both quarterbacks could throw for a ton, but of course that then benefits the guys catching the actual footballs tonight because we have two of the four worst passing defenses through 6 weeks in the NFL. The Bucs, the fourth worst passing defense, Baltimore, the best rushing defense, but the worst passing defense, giving up nearly 25 points per game as well this year. But let's start with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's new top target might it be the second-year pro, Zay Flowers. More than 100 yards in each of the last 2 weeks for the Flock. Is that where you start your focus for this Baltimore offense tonight?
It has to be, and as I always say, players that are this involved in an offense are going to score touchdowns. And we have Zay Flowers, who hasn't scored a touchdown since week two, sitting at plus 155, so I like him for a touchdown. I like him for over 16.5 yards. He leads the team in nearly every meaningful category outside of red zone target share. He has a 28.4% target share. The next highest on the players, Rashad Bateman, at 15.4%. We're seeing 12 and 9 targets over the last 2 weeks, over 100 yards in each of the last 2 weeks, like you said, and he's not scoring. I said this about Olave before. I'll say this time and time again about basically any player that is a top target option on a team and they're simply not scoring. That's game script sometimes. We saw him have over 100 yards in the first half last week and he didn't end up scoring. That happens. I will buy into Zay Flowers at plus 155 in a game where we could see 60 points tonight.
If we're looking from a running back perspective here, if you're from the Ravens, obviously it's Derrick Henry, 85.5 yards. It's a high number. He's going to get the football. But the question comes from me, Tom, more from a Tampa Bay side of things. You have Rashad White coming back into the equation. Bucky Irvin has looked good. And also the emergence of Sean Tucker. How would you play the ground game here, or at least the running backs from Tampa Bay?
You have to pick your spot and you have to be like committed to that spot because not all three of them are going to have big games, right? That's just simply what it comes down to. We're not going to see all of them hit their overs on unless the game has 70 or 80 points. Players are not all going to hit their overs. Personally, yeah. I think Bucky Irving is the best of the bunch. White, he's had his struggle. He's coming back from injury. Sean Tucker, I think, is the wild card because if Tucker has a big game, that means Rashad White is doing absolutely nothing. So I think you have to pick your spot. And for me, it's going to be Bucky Irving combined with rushing plus receiving.
Both of the rookie running backs put up a ton of numbers last week against New Orleans. Vecchio will continue to look at that first game, but let's go to the second game now for just a moment. You thought more scoring for the opening game of the night in Tampa, maybe not as exciting for the second game starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time out in the desert. It's the Cardinals hosting the Chargers. L.A., a slight road favorite, total at 44.5. Lowest total of the year for the Cards, might be the highest total of the season for LA. What do you expect in this game out in the desert?
I'm expecting a lack of scoring, and you know, we have some good defense on the Chargers side of things, and ultimately these teams don't know how to sustain drives. The Chargers are dead last in the league with 32.7 seconds per play, and both the Chargers and the Cardinals are in the bottom set of the league when it comes to plays per game. They're not moving the ball. We know what the Chargers are doing this season, right? This has been their plan the entire offseason. They trade away Keenan Allen. They trade away Mike Williams. They're going to run the ball this season, and it means Herbert is not putting up these prolific numbers that we saw from him in years past, and we have seen the Cardinals offense struggle at times. Yes, they're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. back. So I expect some amount of passing from the Cardinals simply because they have to, but we have good defense on the Chargers side of things. So if these teams can't sustain play, can't sustain drives, we're not going to see a whole lot of scoring. We're going to see a slow, grinded out game where they're milking the clock. I expect the Chargers to have the slight edge and a lack of excitement overall.
Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, the two starting quarterbacks in this matchup. 212.5 is the passing prop for Kyler Murray. 196.5 for Justin Herbert. Touchdown props, you're getting some pretty good numbers. Both of these quarterbacks, Tom, over 1.5. But look at these prices. Both at +144 to throw two touchdowns or more. How do we approach the quarterback market tonight in game number two?
You know, frankly, I think it's kind of the same situation where I think Murray would go down swinging. I don't think they'll run the ball too much with Connor. If they fall too far behind, he has the big playability with Marvin Harrison Jr. back. So I kind of like him over 1.5 touchdowns. I think that's certainly viable tonight. You know, frankly, from a Herbert perspective, I like him under 18.5 completions. He's been over this number one time this season, and that was last week. And I think that's just kind of a game script thing. They got so far out ahead against Denver that they were kind of moving the ball with ease. It's just not a spot, and it's just not their offensive play calling. They have a pass play percentage that is under 50%. They're not passing at a high volume this season. So I like Herbert under 18.5. Again, you want to take Murray over yards just because you think they'll be playing from behind. I think that's totally fine tonight.
27.5, the attempts prop for Justin Herbert, a number he has been under, in 4 of 5 games this year. I believe if I did my math correctly, in the first 4 years of Herbert's career in Los Angeles, he was under 30 attempts 4 times in 4 years in total. It is a complete change of game script. So does that mean we look at J.K. Dobbins as we round out your top props for this Monday night doubleheader?
It certainly does, and ultimately I think Dobbins will have a big role as he had, but again, under 17.5 attempts. He's been over this mark one time, and that was last week when they were up 23-0 versus Denver. And again, this circles back to what I said. They are dead last in the league when it comes to seconds per play, and they do not have a lot of plays per game. Both teams are in the bottom seven of the league. So he can be effective. He's rushing for 90-plus yards, 100-plus yards in the first 2 weeks of the season, but they're not running the ball. They're not running a lot of plays per game. So he breaks off these big runs, and then they just slow it down and milk the clock.
Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Did we get to Kate Otten, by the way? Did you mention Kate Otten?
Kate Otten's the guy. We have the Ravens have allowed 436 receiving yards to tight ends. That's the second most in the league. So kind of circles back to, again, what I said, Baker's going to throw the ball just because the Ravens are giving up passing yards. They may be playing from behind. I think Evans and Godwin are totally fine tonight, but I like that Otten number at over 36.5.
Under the number last week against New Orleans, over in 3 straight prior. Vecchio, as always, the prop perspective was beautiful. We'll see you later on the Sports Grid Network. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When there's a doubleheader of Monday Night Football, we need to make it a triple option, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. DRS, before we dive into our picks for both games on this Monday night, does it ever bum you out that based on your schedule, having to work late night Monday and Thursday to make sure the people have every in-game live betting opportunity for those marquee matchups, that you're no longer a part of the tummy, the pick six, and instead you just have to give out picks in a triple option?
I feel the pressure is off at that point. And like, it's a little bit more like I'm in like the shade, if that makes some sense, where people have to now seek me out as opposed to say like, hey, I was expecting to get those six picks on Saturday. So you know what? We'll give them out to the people. We'll let them eat all weekend long. So I don't mind it. I don't mind.
Listen, I don't like to toot my own horn because I miss plenty more than I make, but I did go 5 for 6 in my pick six.
Wow.
This weekend. The only one that missed was Jaden Daniels. Had it over 241 and a half passing yards.
Get your money back.
But he was
refunded, FanDuel. Come on. Refund it. Come
Mariota threw for more than 200. Daniels, I don't know how many he ended up with. I think he was 2 for 6. So it should have been. Should have been something. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's start a book together here. Can we get bonded and licensed here where we can say, all right, if my starting quarterback goes down, you automatically get the backup? I mean, come on. That's for the people, man. It really is.
Listen, you have dealt a lot with sportsbook operators to make sure that you are live and legal
in
whatever
real
state you need to be placing wagers. You would almost – I love the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? Great sponsor of this show. I thought that should put you to the front of the line. That's the only thing I'll say.
Six pictures, debit cards, licenses, you know, written notes from my parents. Finally got it worked. It worked.
Right.
We're back in, though.
All they needed to do was watch one episode of The Early Line, and they would have seen that Donnie Wrightside is for real. All right, let's get ready. Very real. Let's get ready for the triple option here on this Monday. Our favorite side, total, and prop from either of the two games on this Monday to end out week 7. DRS, begin with your favorite side. We might be going head-to-head tonight, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5, and I'm going to lay that 3.5. Game number one, which I do think, again, is the game of the night, the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, AFC versus NFC. But as we always say, typically it's defense travels, we like to say, right? No, running games travel in the NFL. Lamar Jackson playing as good, every bit as good, as his MVP seasons right now.
Yeah.
Finally, a true superstar running back in Derrick Henry, who is healthy and welcoming the volume change from weeks 1 to week 2. The past 4 weeks here, he is getting as many touches as he needs and as many touchdowns as he can score. Zay Flowers stepping up here. Mark Andrews looks like he's getting better from that injury that he had, which was devastating last year. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens tonight. Simple, Ben, right? If I think they're going to win the game, I think they're going to win by more than 3.5. I'm going with the Ravens.
So, DRS, I like that look because Baltimore, for instance, has been playing so well this year. They've won 4 straight. They've covered perhaps in 3 or 4 of these 4 straight wins. But I'm going with the home team tonight catching points, that being the Buccaneers. I think the Bucs, as an underdog, a spot I always want to look at. 11-5 against the spread with Baker Mayfield as the starting quarterback since the start of last season. 2-1 both straight up and against the number in 3 games as a dog this year. Winning outright in their first 2 and coughing up what would have been a golden opportunity before losing in overtime to the Falcons as a dog on a short week Thursday night football game. So a little bit in direct competition here tonight, DRS. I'm going to take Tampa getting 3.5 points. One of us will win. The other will not. Just how it's going to play out. I wonder if your co-hosts on NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day will be with you lockstep tonight.
I don't know if they will, because I don't know if they're going to want to hear me for, what, 4.5 hours of football tonight while I tell them how bad their opinions are, particularly at the quarterback position. Leave it. Look, smartest man in the room is the only wide receiver in the room. Remember that.
Always remember that. All right. Favorite total of the night is where, DRS?
Over 49.5. Let's keep it with the Ravens and Buccaneers. What do you like about this? The Ravens' offense has been spectacular. They'll be able to move the football against Tampa Bay, but Baker Mayfield is like the ultimate competitor, which, you know, if they're down, he's going to throw them right back into that football game. Hopefully, look, if you're looking for a total of 49.5 to get there, you got to have Mike Evans healthy. You got to have him engaged, because Godwin on one side and Evans on the other, that can move the football against this Ravens secondary as long as they're both there. If Evans checks out earlier, it's apparent that he's not healthy. That means that coverage rolls over to Godwin and makes it harder to move the football. But also, I do think you need a balanced attack out of the Buccaneers, which you can get it. We just brought up, they have 3 legitimate running backs that they can go to here and a couple really good passing options out of the backfield. If Baker Mayfield is on it tonight, let me see 250-plus passing yards. Let me see 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Let me see 2 interceptions tonight, which would be so Baker Mayfield. We're going to get over that total. I just see points. 2 offenses that can get hot. 2 offenses that won't be saying like, hey, let's slow down the tempo here. Give me over 49.5 in game number 1.
Yeah, DRS, I kind of agree with you as well. We've got two offenses that can be exposed through the air. The Ravens really good defending the run, but you would think that Baker and the Bucs will be throwing it a ton tonight. Two defenses allowing more than 23 points per game each. The Ravens nearly 25 points per game. My favorite total is the second game of the night, under 44.5. The Chargers have been under in 4 of 5. This is the highest total they have seen this year. The Cardinals, this is the lowest total they have seen of the season. We know how the Chargers want to do things. They're a road favorite in the desert. They're going to slow down the game. They're going to try to grind it out with the running game. Give me under 44.5. So DRS to the run game for the Bolts. That's where you look for your favorite prop.
Run game for the Bolts. J.K. Dobbins, one thing we do know is you're banged up at wide receiver, and that head coach loves to get mean and nasty on that front line, which means fullbacks with their hand in the dirt and running backs pounding the football inside the 5-yard line. J.K. Dobbins, anytime touchdown, FanDuel Sportsbook, -135. Touchdown, cha-ching.
I like that look, Donnie, so much. I agree with what Vecchio was saying from the under of the attempts prop, and I think J.K. Dobbins has a big night. Oh, by the way, again, systematically, this favors the Chargers. Arizona's the third worst rushing defense in the NFL. You would think matchup advantage in favor of the Chargers. I go to Zay Flowers, over 60.5 receiving yards. Vecchio laid it out. He's got 48 targets this year. He's had more than 110 receiving yards in each of the past two games. He's the only Raven receiver, tight end or otherwise, with more than 27 targets this season, and he's got 48. DRS, enjoy NFL football in game live game day. Enjoy the money line. I'll talk to you on Thursday, my friend. I'll miss you. Have a good week. More on the early line on the other side of the room.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let's look back one final time at week 8 of this college football season before we go to the final Saturday in October. It is the last Saturday of the second full month of the season. The reason I highlight that point is because when November rolls around, we are not far from the college football playoff rankings, the selection committee coming together for the first time in Grapevine, Texas, to see how they view the landscape in college football, and ever more important this year in the inaugural season of 12. That's the college football playoff expansion. So how did things look on week 8 Saturday? A huge Saturday across the sport. LSU in the top 10, left no doubt, hammering Arkansas in Fayetteville on Saturday. They were only a 2.5-point favorite in a game that many people thought the Razorbacks were live as a great underdog team. Nope. LSU's defense so much better in the last 3 weeks, and a huge victory for the Bayou Bengals. Iowa State 7-0 for the first time since the late 1930s, as the Cyclones were down double digits at home against Central Florida by 2 touchdowns in the second half, only to rally. Rocco Becht, the quarterback for Iowa State, the team's leading rusher, 97 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game winner in the final minute of regulation. Clemson lost its season opener against Georgia. They haven't lost since. The Tigers have won 6 consecutive games. The average margin of victory is better than 4 touchdowns per game. They hammer Virginia, although UVA does cover as a 20.5-point underdog. Notre Dame has looked good against teams that do not play in the MAC. They beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta 31-13. Notre Dame covers as a 13.5-point favorite. No Haynes King for the Yellow Jackets. That was unfortunate, but the Fighting Irish have covered in every game this year against non-MAC opponents, having an undefeated side in their next game in MetLife on Saturday. That's Navy. The Midshipmen remain perfect as they hammer Charlotte, scoring 51 points. Army remains perfect as well. The Black Knights rolling over in their game, in their matchup for Army as well. Look at these two teams ranked inside the top 25. Speaking of wagons, Indiana is that. They absolutely dismantle Nebraska 56-7 in Bloomington. Indiana is the best scoring offense in the country. They have the best point differential and scoring margin in the country, and they are 7-0. Yeah, 7-0, covering in 6 of 7 games. A top 25 tilt that didn't really feel like it. Michigan's national championship hangover, if you want to call it that, or maybe just a completely different roster and coaching staff, has now seen 3 losses for the Maize and Blue this year. The Illini hand Michigan its second consecutive loss, 21-7. Illinois takes on Oregon out in Autzen on Saturday afternoon. The Ducks, now the number one team in the country. That's a little bit interesting, if you ask me, to see Oregon as a 3-touchdown favorite. Illinois is a great underdog. They won outright as a dog against Michigan. Under Brett Bielema, they've got double-digit outright victories as an underdog. One of 4 power conference teams that can say that since 2021. How about Vandy? Ranked for the first time in a full season since 2008. Vanderbilt catching 17.5 against Texas after the Longhorns, the former number one team in the country, lost its first game of the year. These two teams have not played since 1928. But Vandy has won 8 of 13 all-time meetings against Texas. Another significant Saturday in the SEC. College Station, top 15 tilt. A&M, 14th in the country. They haven't lost since the season opener against Notre Dame. They're a field goal plus favorite at home against LSU. There's that Notre Dame-Navy game in East Rutherford at MetLife. Navy has not beaten Notre Dame in 6 consecutive matchups. However, they have covered this number of 12.5 in a few. Alabama trying to bounce back once again against a Missouri team that has been okay. Mizzou did beat Auburn. They even covered as a 3.5-point favorite on Saturday. But even outside of Saturday, let me direct your attention quickly to Friday night in Las Vegas. UNLV and Boise State in a game that could determine which Group of 5 team could earn one of the 5 automatic berths to the college football playoff for winning a conference championship. That does it for the Early Line on this Monday. Show returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern on a Tuesday on Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.